We just wanna party.
Listening to the WGXC Akron 90.7 on your FM dial and WGXC.org on your smartphone or computer.
Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
I'm Tom Rowe in Akron, and you've tuned into the WGXC Morning Show on the final day of our Tower Power Pledge Drive. We're asking you to make a contribution to your community media landscape at wgxc.org/donate. Support having sophomores in high school and senior citizens on the air at 90.7 FM and making a contribution at wgxc.org/donate. A platform for all kinds of community discussion, a soapbox for your views, and a place to hear the views of other tribes in your area. WGXC.org/donate is the place to go to keep that coming out of your FM speakers, 90.7 FM. Please do. WGXC Morning Show will be back after the local news and after Jason Martin from Troy's Song is over.
Network. This is the news. This is the network. Network, this is the news. This is the network. This is the news. This is the network. Network.
On October 28th, two incredible performers come to the Hudson Valley. Meg Baird and Chris Forsyth are both performing at Tubby's in Kingston, and they're both playing with the same band, Douglas McCombs from Tortoise and 11th Dream Day on bass, Ryan Jewell, who plays with Riley Walker and many others on drums, and Charlie Soffley from Heron Oblivion on guitar will be backing both Meg Baird from Espers and Chris Forsyth. Performance is October 28th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Tubby's in Kingston. You can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
WGXC underwriting support is provided in part by Sun Common, supporting vibrant communities across New York for over 15 years, offering custom solar installations for homes, farms, and businesses. Information at suncommon.com.
Wave Farms WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of Delmar Wellness Center of Alachua, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
We interrupt this broadcast to bring you a special news bulletin.
Stay tuned to this station.
Stand by for news.
Direct via satellite from our on-the-spot task force.
Good evening from our newsroom in New York.
This is
Daily News and Weather Report.
From the WGXC newsroom, this is the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. I'm Philip Grant.
This is Tom Rowe. You can go to the newsroom at wgxc.org for more information about anything you hear here. The Daily Freeman reports that the city of Kingston has launched its Community Choice Aggregation Program. The program will make it possible for the city to supply residents and small businesses with accessible and affordable green energy by pooling demand, according to a press release. The program allows Kingston to purchase clean energy supply at bulk rates on behalf of its residents and small businesses while maintaining delivery service from Central Hudson Gas and Electric Corporation, according to the October 26 press release from Mayor Steve Noble's office. Community solar will be included in the community choice aggregation, making it possible for Kingston Community Energy to provide all residents, regardless of income level, with the benefits of locally generated clean energy. The city has chosen Mid-Hudson Energy Transition as the program administrator. Power Market, described as a market leader in community energy programs, will serve as Mid-Hudson Energy Transition's implementation partner. It will take a year for the program to be established, starting with coordination and approvals through State Public Service Commission, as well as community education and public outreach, renewable energy supply and contracting, and monitoring and oversight, the release said. The city will host two public information meetings to provide an overview of the program online at noon and again at 6 p.m. on December 7th. Information is available at the City of Kingston website. Read more about the story in the Daily Freeman.
Roger Justin reports in the Times Union that Democrat Letitia James and Republican Michael Henry are running for Attorney General this fall, with voting beginning October 29th and ending November 8th. Henry is a New York City-based attorney, and James is the incumbent. James was the first woman and the first black person to be elected Attorney General in New York. She briefly announced a run for governor this year, but then went back to running for re-election. James has been praised and criticized for high-profile cases involving former President Donald Trump and former Governor Cuomo. Henry is running by saying there is a rising crime rate in New York, more government corruption, and a struggling economy. But an October 18th poll from Siena College found that 91% of those surveyed did not know who Henry is. Sean Donahue, an assistant professor of political science at the University of Buffalo, said, and I quote, "Henry hasn't really raised much money. If he has a potential path to either coming in close or winning, he would need to ride the coattails of Lee Zeldin," end quote. Zeldin is the Republican candidate for governor, running against incumbent Democrat Kathy Hochul. Henry said, and I quote, "I'm someone that believes in being tough on crime, but at the same time being smart on crime. As a fiscal conservative, you want to have as many people out of the system as possible," end quote. Read more about this election in the Times Union.
Mid-Hudson News reports the September 2022 unemployment rate for the Hudson Valley region was 2.8%, down from 3.5% in August and down from 3.9% in September 2021, according to data reported by the State Labor Department. All counties in the Hudson Valley, with the exception of Greene and Delaware, recorded a jobless rate under 3% last month. The Columbia County rate decreased to 2.4% from 3% in August, while the September jobless rate in Greene County was 3.1%, down from 3.8% in August. The unemployment rates in Dutchess and Ulster County in September were identical at 2.8%. Read more about this story at MidHudsonNews.com.
Mid-Hudson News reports that New York's Department of Corrections and Community Supervision will try to fill some of its job openings by hiring retired corrections officers on a part-time basis. State law allows retired officers to be rehired as long as they are off the job for less than 6 months, but not more than 4 years. Part-timers hired will get an hourly rate of $34.81 and have a choice of correctional facilities for employment with flexible shifts, and 40 hours of in-service training per year. Read the full story at Mid-Hudson News.
Paul Nelson reports in the Times Union that the University of Albany police are working to identify a man they say posted stickers with hateful messages on campus and subsequently called a local broadcaster to pose as an innocent student who discovered the items. Investigators say the man was responsible for placing anti-Semitic and racist stickers on the University of Albany campus this week. University at Albany Police Chief Paul Burlingame said October 27th the man in question is known to law enforcement. He took photos of the stickers and then called at least one local television station, pretending to be the person who found the material. Quote, "He posed as a student to one of the other media outlets saying he found the stickers on campus, but he actually posted the stickers on campus," unquote, Burlingame said. but we don't believe any student was involved in the incident as a complainant or as a suspect, unquote. The chief said the sequence of events is consistent with how the group has operated in the past. The Times Union has chosen not to identify the organization. The department launched an investigation into the matter after the story broke earlier this week, the chief said. Quote, it's an individual who is known to law enforcement across the state, and this group has posted these same stickers on several other campuses in New York State. We really are trying not to help promote this group or their message, unquote. The offensive stickers were posted outside of one of the residence halls and were quickly removed after being discovered. A university spokesperson said less than a dozen stickers were found on two locations on campus. Read more about the story in the Times Union.
This week's New York Foliage Report show most local leaves at peak or past peak colors. The report says, and I quote, Albany County reports from the Cohoes Falls predict past peak foliage this weekend with 90 to 95% leaf change and orange and gold leaves of average brilliance as well as significant leaf droppage. Spotters at John Boyd Thatcher State Park in Voorheesville also expect past peak foliage with an abundance of mostly brilliant yellow and orange leaves along with some brown leaves. In the Catskills, Greene County foliage will be just past peak in the town of Catskill with nearly complete leaf change and yellow and orange leaves of average brilliance along with touches of red. Foliage at Belair Mountain Ski Area in High Mount will also be past peak with complete leaf change and bright orange and yellow leaves. In the Hudson Valley, Dutchess County spotters reporting from Beacon predict that foliage will be at peak this weekend with 70% leaf change and many bright shades of yellow, orange, and red, along with some purple. Spotters in Hopewell Junction are predicting peak foliage with 75 to 80% leaf change and bright red, yellow, and orange leaves, along with some remaining green leaves. Foliage in Poughkeepsie will be less changed with up to 50% color transition and emerging red leaves of average brilliance, end quote. See New York's Foliage Report for complete details.
And that wraps up the WGXC Hands-On Radio News Update. For local weather reports, public meetings, and other community information, use the WGXC website, WGXC.org. From the WGXC Newsroom, I'm Philip Grant. Have a good day.
And now, here is your WGXC weather update. Your forecast for the next 2 days. Well, on Friday, mostly sunny with a high near 54 degrees. Friday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 29 degrees. And on Saturday, sunny with a high near 60 degrees. And Saturday night, mostly clear with a temperature low of around 32 degrees. And that is your weather update from WGXC, 90.7 FM in Greene and Columbia counties.
Friday, October 28th. Tune in to all sorts of creative community voices on the final day of the WGXC Tower Power Pledge Drive, where we're asking for your help to keep our antenna on our local tower in Greene County and keep broadcasting on 90.7 FM. Make a contribution today at wgxc.org/donate to keep WGXC's antenna on its tower tomorrow, broadcasting on FM. We need to decide whether or not to renew our lease, and we need some financial commitment from the community to do that. So please go to wgxc.org/donate and make a commitment to your local airwaves and one place on the dial where there's public access to the airwaves. At wgxc.org, go to click on the donate button to help.
Get a local event mentioned on All Together Now. Go to wgxc.org and click on Add an Event at the top of the page.
and copy and paste the information about your event in the boxes. Let's all get involved in our community. See what's going on at WGXC.org in the community calendar.
On October 28th, two incredible performers come to the Hudson Valley. Meg Baird and Chris Forsyth are both performing at Tubby's in Kingston. And they're both playing with the same band, Douglas McCombs from Tortoise and 11th Dream Day on bass, Ryan Jewell, who plays with Riley Walker and many others on drums, and Charlie Soffley from Heron Oblivion on guitar will be backing both Meg Baird from Espers and Chris Forsyth. Performance is October 28th from 8 to 11 p.m. at Tubby's in Kingston. You can find out more about this show and many others on the WGXC community calendar online at wgxc.org.
Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXE, a show where art is not just on the radio, but is the radio.
Oh, radio, radio. Uh-huh. Oh, 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 radio.
The Radio Art Hour draws from the Waveform Broadcast Radio Art Archive, an online resource that aims to identify, coalesce, and celebrate historical and contemporary international radio artworks made by artists around the world. Tune in the Radio Art Hour, Saturdays at 3 p.m. on WGXC 90.7 FM.
Hello and welcome to the better weather for Friday, October 28th. Local early morning temperatures range from 30 degrees in Ashland to 40 in Germantown. Regional average soil temperature is 52 degrees. And snow falls today, 1,600 miles away, north of Santa Fe, New Mexico. And it's Friday, so the fall foliage forecast is as follows. Up on the Mountain Windham side is past peak and quickly fading. The Tannersville-Palinville side still has some color, but don't count on it lasting too much longer. According to ilovenewyork.com, in the Catskills, Green County foliage will be just past peak in the town of Catskill with nearly complete leaf change and yellow and orange leaves of average brilliance. Across the river, the peak is running south now in the Hopewell Junction and Beacon area. For those out there catching the last of the colors, it's going to be a cold day ahead. We hit 55 degrees at 3 p.m. Overnight, cloud cover opens up and lets the heat out. We drop to 30, yes, 30 degrees overnight, taking us into a cool Saturday with a quick recovery, hitting 61 degrees at 3 p.m. A mild 35 degrees overnight takes us into a similar Sunday, hitting 63 degrees. After dark, rain chances roll into the area, and Monday, so far, calls for rain with a high of 63. High tide today will be at 5:12 a.m. Low tide will be at 11:51 a.m. And high tide will happen once again at 5:34 p.m. Today's river temperature will be 55 degrees, and the tidal strength will be high. Sunset today will be at 5:42 p.m. Sunrise tomorrow will be at 7:19 a.m. Looking way up, we see fireballs are lighting up the night sky for viewers as the torrid meteor swarm is picking up. This weekend should be great for viewing. Solar wind speed is currently 419 kilometers per second at 8.6 protons per milliliter. Radio propagation conditions are currently terrible until dark, then fair below 8 megahertz overnight. The 24-hour predicted KP index is 3. Quiet. The current sunspot number is 72. And this has been The Better Weather, brought to you by the Catskill Maker Syndicate. Reminding you, we're still in pledge drive time, and now is the best time you could find to head on over to WGXE.org. Hit that big, easy donate button and help out your community radio station.
WGXC is made possible in part by the generous ongoing support of the Curtin family of Tivoli, New York. WGXC's sustaining supporters are among the station's most dedicated listeners. They care deeply about creative community radio, and their investment helps to sustain WGXC as a public platform for information, experimentation, and engagement in Greene and Columbia counties. You too can become a sustaining supporter by going to wgxc.org/donate and designating an amount of your choosing. Thank you for your support.
I'm Rob Saffer. I create and produce Overlooked, a show for underplayed and overlooked music of all kinds. I'm also a dedicated WGXC listener. I love the other music shows, the news, and The Better Weather is the best. Because I listen, I pledge. I'm a sustaining supporter. Because community radio matters now more than ever. Go to wgxc.org/donate and donate. Thank you.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, for me, thinking about why supporting WGXC matters, like, yeah, we're here to provide content that we hope you enjoy. I hope you come back for.
Yay!
But also, like, just getting in the studio sometimes and being able to make whatever it is we got to make, you know, and not being too concerned about it being perfect, but just being ourselves. I feel like that's therapeutic a lot of times on a Friday after a long week.
For less than 70 cents a day or $20 a month, you could become a WGXC monthly supporter.
Please donate to WGXC to keep Catskill Cabin Getaway and all the other fantastic shows going.
Sustaining support is charged monthly to your credit card or PayPal account at any level you choose. It's a tax-deductible charitable contribution and very easy to cancel at any time. So to make a recurring donation or to make a one-time gift, go to wgxc.org/donate, or you can call 518-697-7400. 518-697-7400.
Anyway, if you are listening, you appreciate having different voices on the air than you typically hear, having young people who have built the radio show literally from the content to the music to how we introduce everything about it. The sound engineering, the tech, every little bit of it is done by young people at the clubhouse.
WGXC has served Greene and Columbia counties in New York for over 11 years, and I'm one of the programmers who started with the creation of the station in 2011. Keep community radio in the community.
Help WGXC meet its goal and keep local, national, and international news broadcasting in Greene and Columbia counties. Thanks so much.
My people, what can I say? Say what I can. I saw it, but I didn't believe it. I didn't believe it what I saw. Are we gonna live together? Together, are we gonna live? This is your Mr. Senior Love Daddy talking to you from We Love Radio 108 FM on your dial. And that's the triple truth, Ruth. Today's weather, hot! Wake up! Thank you.
Welcome to 2022 Talks, where we're following our democracy in historic times.
We have not seen anything to indicate that Putin has made a decision to use a dirty bomb. Nor have we seen any indications that that the Ukrainians are planning such a thing.
A new Pentagon Defense Strategy report says amid its invasion of Ukraine, Russia is a serious threat to the U.S. and its allies. But Defense Secretary Lloyd Austin notes that China remains the overall greatest security challenge as it aggressively builds up its military in the South China Sea and increases pressure on Taiwan. And the report cautions that China is trying to undermine American alliances in the Indo-Pacific region. Attorney General Merrick Garland has formally blocked the Department of Justice from using subpoenas to seize the records of journalists and government leak investigations. Temporary policies were first put in place in July 2021 amid reports that the DOJ, under then-Attorney General William Barr, had secretly sought email records of reporters critical of the Trump administration. And on the topic of leaks, Supreme Court Justice Samuel Alito says the draft opinion secretly released prior to the court overturning the nationwide right to abortion was a grave betrayal of trust.
The leak also made those of us who were thought to be in the majority in support of overruling Roe and Casey targets for assassination, because it gave people a rational reason to think they could prevent that from happening by killing one of us.
A man accused of attempting to murder Justice Brett Kavanaugh is currently on trial. A federal appeals court has rejected former President Donald Trump's request to reconsider a ruling that his tax returns must be disclosed to a congressional committee. Trump could appeal to the Supreme Court. 2022 will likely be the most expensive year for federal lobbying to date. Data from Open Secrets shows that federal lobbyists raked in $3 billion through the third quarter of 2022, about $744 million shy of the $3.8 billion spent last year. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce is the biggest spender. Phoenix police have made an arrest related to a break-in at a campaign office of Arizona Democratic gubernatorial candidate Katie Hobbs. A spokesperson for Hobbs blamed her Republican rival, Carrie Lake, who said the allegation is absurd.
Are you guys buying that? Are you really buying that? This just sounds like a Jussie Smollett part two. I can't believe that she would blame my amazing people, or blame me for something like that.
Gun violence prevention advocates will participate in more than 200 election events this weekend across the country. Brenda Moss of El Paso, whose son was shot and killed in 2014, says guns are responsible for 110 deaths each day in the U.S.
Let's move. Let's move forward. Stop guessing. Stop debating. The time is now. Every life is important in this moment, not in the future, not in the past. They're important in this moment.
I'm Mary Sherman for Pacifica Network and Public News Service. Find our A-Trust indicators to support transparency and accuracy at publicnewsservice.org.
You're listening to the American Democracy Minute, keeping your government by and for the people. Our last installment for Why People Don't Vote Week discusses what solutions are being proposed to encourage eligible citizens to register and vote. The Center for American Progress outlined reforms which would encourage registration and voting. They include automatic voter registration to encourage registration at the DMV when obtaining a license or car registration. Oregon registered 219,000 new voters by AVR before the 2018 midterm, and 47% of them voted. Online voter registration, which includes submitting identification and other documents electronically, has eased the hassle for working people to register. A study in Georgia found that 71% of online registrants turned out to vote, higher than in-person or mail registration. Pre-registering 16 and 17-year-olds is effective in getting younger voters engaged. They can't vote until they're 18, but often schools can encourage future voting when coupled with civics education. Florida saw a 4.7% jump in youth voting as a result. Early voting and voting by mail helps all manners of people to vote, providing flexibility in schedules for parents and working citizens. In the last few weeks, Georgia has shattered its early voting records. What are your options for registering and voting? Contact your city or county election office or website for details. Articles and links to groups taking action are at AmericanDemocracyMinute.org. For the American Democracy Minute, I'm Brian Beal.
Ghost Power there, members of the bands Dimaxion and Stereolab, with their 2022 album Ghost Power and the song Asteroid Witch on the radio at WGXC.
The coyote goes. smiling through his own personal hell. Dropped his last dime in a wishing well, but he was hoping too close and then he fell. Now he's Casper the Friendly Ghost. He was always polite to the people who tell him that he was nothing but a lazy bum, but goodbye to them, he had to go. Now he's Casper the Friendly Ghost. Nobody treated him nice while he was alive. You can't buy no respect like the librarian said, but everybody respects the dead. They love the friendly ghost. And now they say we'll never forget what he learned us. We were mean to him, but he never burned us in. Love lives forever. Thank you, Casper the Friendly Ghost. Thank you, Casper the Friendly
Next, we have an interview from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
On Friday, October 28th, is the fourth edition of Telling the Truth. Paul Grondel, the director of the New York State Writers Institute, will be moderating one of the talks, and he joins us now on Hudson Mohawk Magazine. Welcome.
Thank you, Sina. It's nice to be with you.
So, in its fourth year, how did Telling the Truth series, how was it conceived, and what does it entail?
Yeah, so this is the fourth edition, as you mentioned, and we've had previous editions. When I came in 2017, the second edition was really in response to the election of Donald Trump, his calls for the enemy of the people, attacks on the press, a lot of effort to undermine the First Amendment. Then during COVID, we did a whole series of taped conversations about political tribalism and toxic divisions in our political landscape. And we wanted this fourth edition now after the January 6th insurrection and what we see is, and all of us, I think, agree on ongoing threats to democracy from, trying to decide what is the truth and who is who has the truth, and we all need to be better consumers of information on all platforms. So anyway, we're bringing together some really talented authors, journalists, a woman who's created an organization that's a watchdog against lies and misinformation in advertising, and it's going to be a deep conversation, and sometimes people don't agree on all these issues, of course, but our point is to foster dialogue and to get people thinking about who we are as a country and how democracy can move forward.
You mentioned that Donald Trump had a big part in the conception of this series, and with his presidential candidacy came the reawakening of the term Lügepresse and just saying that the press is lying. Is that where it started? What has been the evolution of the mistrust?
I think it stems in a lot of ways from kind of the Wild West atmosphere of social media. We're now probably into our second decade where people who've been trained with ethics and rules of journalism and verifying information and getting multiple sources, that doesn't really, you know, have currency on the web and on social media where anyone could be anyone. And then people learned how to create propaganda and misinformation, obviously tampered with our election in 2016 and the current midterm elections. You see, there's a lot of propaganda and bad things happening online. So I think the boom of online and the explosion of people who are all of a sudden, you know, producers and publishers and heads of new content, that's only part of it, though. I think there was a deep-seated distrust between the right and the left that Trump understood how to manipulate and to fan and to inflame kind of our worst elements of the national consciousness. So we really want to bring together people who've been looking at this, studying this, writing about it, to talk about it, because I think, you know, we need to at least listen to each other, even though we're so far apart. You know, I mean, I think it was a wake-up call when everyone saw that mob storming the Capitol. And some people have this fear in the sense that's really kind of represents the state of our union right now. And we want to talk about that. And we think these are really responsible, brilliant, well-versed, deeply, researched, and people in the trenches who can talk about these issues. And so we invite the public to come, and there's Q&A sessions after each one. And, we've been able to have a civil dialogue. You know, unfortunately, a lot of political conversation is very heated and angry, and a lot of shouting and recrimination. We try to hold these without all of that, as a way of at least trying to talk about these issues in a calm, rational manner.
With the rise of social media, there's also been this push for more immediacy in reporting, and these sound bites and these reactions. Has that fueled this shortened timeline that puts the deep research at risk and maybe leaves more opportunity for mistakes in reporting and fueling mistrust?
I think you're onto something. I mean, I've been a journalist for 40 years, newspapers, and when we started, it was, you know, we worked for the paper the next morning. Now it's nonstop. I mean, news is happening in nanoseconds. You can go on certainly Twitter or other platforms, and it's just constant. And I'd rather be right than be first, but there's a lot of, interest in being first and making a splash. And the people that we have on, for instance, Brian Stelter, longtime host of the show Reliable Sources on CNN. He's also been a media critic and written for the New York Times. He wrote this book called Hoax, Donald Trump, Fox News, and the Dangerous Distortion of Truth. So we think we also have to look at very large corporate players in the space, especially Fox News, who don't have the same standard of truth-telling that we've expected from our media in the past. And then you're exactly right. It's so fast, the news cycle, and, you know, people are going for clicks. People are going for a lot of followers. And, you know, Facebook is a perfect example. They found in their algorithm that hate and anger, you know, makes people spend longer on their platforms, which drives their advertising. So they have a vested interest in getting people really mad and yelling and shouting over each other. That's good for business. And I think you see that on both sides. You know, it's the way CNN was going recently, and it's the way that Fox has been from the inception.
And in this time of distortion of truth, how can we teach ourselves some tips for media literacy?
That's a good point. I mean, there's so much coming at us so fast. First thing is to be skeptical the bumper stickers that have been around since the 60s, question authority. You should question everything that comes across your phone, your tablet, your device, your laptop. You know, just because it comes from a social media platform, you shouldn't immediately accept it as the truth. You should look at the source. You should look at other sources. You should know the bias of every source. Every source has a bias. Every single publication has an inherent bias. This notion of objective news that we used to teach in journalism, objectivity, was never really real. You know, it's what we strove for. We tried to get all sides and points of view, but everyone has a life experience. Everyone has grew up a certain way. And you have to accept that and realize that. I mean, you look at the New York Times versus the New York Post. You know, neither of them are wholly objective. But I trust the values, the quality, the ethics, and the professionalism of the journalists at the New York Times more than I do at the New York Post. And I've had friends who work for both. It's kind of a culture. But there's the days of thinking you could play it straight down the middle and be entirely objective, you know, that's sort of been disproven a long time ago. But with that said, you have to check your sources. You have to read multiple sources. This is why I read the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal each day. Very different perspectives. And I think you got to filter them both a little bit. And you could go down the line with all the other sites or news sources that people read. But we work with students, too, here at the Writers Institute and talking about this. You know, look at the source. Where is this coming from? Ask tough questions. Be critical. Be a critical thinker. But
we only have about 30 seconds left. Sorry to cut you off.
Sorry.
But I want to make sure that we get in that information for the Friday event.
Exactly.
Two panels. We have Truth in Media at 5:30 and Politics and Disinformation at 7 p.m. What should we know about these panels?
So the first panel is Brian Stelter and Nandini Jammy. The second panel is Devlin Barrett and Jonathan Lemire. The moderator of the second panel will be Rosemary Armeo, who's well known as a journalist and a watchdog. They are free and open to the public. They're at Page Hall on the downtown UAlbany campus, 135 Western Avenue. You can learn everything you need to know at our website, nyswritersinstitute.org. We hope that you will join us and make your voice heard as well and add your voice to this conversation.
Paul Grondahl, it's been a pleasure to have you on our show. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks, Zena. I appreciate it.
That interview was from
WOOC.
To learn more about this program, the Sanctuary for Independent Media, visit us online at mediasanctuary.org.
I'm Tom Rowe in Acre with the WGXC Renewable Weather Forecast for Friday, October 28th. We start each renewable weather forecast with the price of fossil fuels in Greene County. $3.55 a gallon at the Mobile in Cairo is the lowest price right now, according to the Gas Buddy website. Then we look at the air quality forecast, and it's a 29 on Friday, down a bit from a 36 on Thursday. The UV index is a 3 again for 2 days in a row. That's in the moderate range. The National Weather Service in Albany says it should be mostly sunny, good for local solar panels on Friday, with a high of 51 and a low around 30. Saturday should also be sunny, with a high of 58 and a low around 34. And Sunday should be sunny, too, with a high of 60, low around 45, and a 40% chance of rain Sunday night. You're listening to the radio, WGXC 90.7 FM, Acre, Catskill, Hudson, solar-powered radio for open ears.
I'm Dr. Anthony Lizowitz, and this is Climate Connections. For decades, the U.S. has been relying less on coal and more on natural gas. Burning natural gas emits less carbon dioxide, but it still generates other pollutants that are dangerous to breathe.
We can't lose track of the fact that there are communities who have and continue to bear inequitable burdens from siting of facilities such as power plants.
That's Juan de Klett Barreto with the Union of Concerned Scientists. In a recent study, his team looked at power plants across the 11 states in the Regional Greenhouse Gas Initiative, a program aimed at reducing carbon pollution from power plants. they found that as coal use has fallen, more natural gas plants have opened in the region, and a disproportionate number of natural gas plants are located in communities of color and low-income areas. Some are likely former coal plants that were converted to gas, which in some ways is an environmental win. But it also means that communities that have long struggled with pollution continue to bear a disproportionate burden. So DeClette Barreto says climate policies aimed at cutting carbon pollution should also address this injustice.
Climate change policy provides a great opportunity that we should not squander.
Climate Connections is produced by the Yale Center for Environmental Communication. To hear more stories like this, visit climateconnections.org.